Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way.
Enjoy the special singing and all of the other activity and recognition that was given. I want to say personally to all of our veterans that are here today, thank you for your service to our country. It's because of your service and folks like you that we're able to meet here today. Didn't have to meet here underground, didn't have to sneak here. We could come out and openly carry our Bibles and meet here and announce that there's church today. And I'm thankful for your service to our country for that and many other reasons. I want to challenge your heart today out of 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And I want to use this account here. We're studying on our Sunday nights the life of David. And in this particular account, there is a veteran that is mentioned. Now, it's not David. He's one. There's another veteran that is mentioned in this account that I want to kind of hone in and look at his life just a little bit in the time that we have. Certainly not a good light that David is shown against here. David, normally a man in the Scripture, is cast against a good light. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. He was a man who done a lot of good things. I believe with all of my heart, the greatest king of Israel, the greatest king ever, was King David. David wrote a lot of great songs. We use them often in times of need, in times of sorrow, in times of rejoicing. We refer to the songs that David wrote. They're called psalms in the Bible. They sang them as people of God, and we still sing them today, and we still look to them to bring a source of comfort and assurance. As the story goes, as God records even this dark time in David's life, we have a story where there was a battle going on. And for whatever reason you want to choose to accept, the Bible doesn't say, but David was stayed at home. It certainly was not improper for him to do this while the battle was going on and set into array. But while David was at home, the Scripture says that he looked and there was a woman who was bathing, and David cast his eyes upon her. And then through a series of things that he brought her to him, he committed an adulterous act with her, which, by the way, is still sin. And I know the times that we live in, but God hasn't changed his mind, and nor should you or I. And so David had to answer for his sin. Probably some of the harshest words that David ever heard was in verse number 5. These four words rocked a man's life. I am with child. Here's a man who had committed an act who he probably thought that no one would find out about. But God always finds out, doesn't he? He always does. And the word was sent back, I am with child. And so David, being the strategic man in his mind working the way that it works, he was in a pickle, so to speak, and he thought, well, you know what? I've got to do something to cover this up. And that's what all people try to do, by the way, when they sin. They always try to cover up. That's just part of what man does, always trying to cover sin. And God will uncover it. But now, if you'll uncover it, God will cover it, right? What the Bible says. If you'll confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have here where David said, you know what? He said, I want you to send for this man. Now here's our veteran. I want you to send for a man that's fighting in this war. And as you heard read before you today, he sent for the man and his name was Uriah. Now Uriah was no stranger to David. As a matter of fact, David had 37 what are called mighty men, warriors. And as you read over into this book, into chapter 23, you'll find that where the last one of these warriors, the 37th named warrior in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, his name was Uriah. And David mentioned him, even though what I'm going to share with you today is not so pleasant, but he still knew this man was a patriot. This man was a God-fearing man. This man was a family man. This man loved his country. But above all, this man loved his God. And because of his love for these things, he told the king face to face, I can't do what you're asking me to do. Now that's hard, but he did it. I hope you picked up on it, the latter part of verse number 11, when David had asked him to go into his home in verse number 10. Let's look at that. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not. David, I'm sorry, in verse number 8 had said, I want you to wash and go to your house. And he said, I'm going to send you a spread, you know, a mess of meat from the king. Well, he didn't do it. Uriah rather slept at the king's door, verse number 9 says. And when he was confronted by the king, the latter part of verse number 11 says, I will not do this thing. The king had said, I want you to just relax. I want you to take a leave. I want you just to spend some time with your wife. Now, he had ulterior motives. He was trying to cover his sin. But now Uriah didn't know this. Okay? And I want you to notice Uriah's answer. And from this, I just want to make a few remarks about the day that we live in. I think that kind of corresponds with a call to arms, a call to stand, if you will. You see, we're Christians. And Christians just fight. You listening? Now, we don't fight like the world fights. We fight the way God has commissioned us to fight. See, God has given us an armor. And you'd be wise to wear the armor that God has given you. I'm not going to wear the armor, preacher. Well, now you're going to suffer some hits, some injury, some spiritual wounds if you choose not to wear the whole armor of God. There's a reason God gave you and I armor to wear. Because we're in a warfare. Now, if I have to remind the folks that are here today, and I believe that these are some of the cream of the crop that are here, right? I mean, if we have to be reminded as believers that we're in a warfare, if we have to be reminded that this country that we know and that we love and that it was founded on Christian principles has far removed from that. If just the recent events that have taken place has not served as another reminder that this old world is no friend of grace. Amen? Now listen to me. What did this man tell David? David said, I want you to relax. I want you to come from your journey, and I want you just to spend some time and go down to your house and relax and eat and drink and just take it easy. And I'm afraid that a lot of believers have taken this advice that David gave and taken it to themselves and said, you know what? I think I'm just going to kind of put her in neutral, and I'm just going to kind of coast on into glory. I think that my time of fighting the good fight, my time of fighting the good fight of faith, my time of standing on what is right and my time of standing on what the Bible teaches, well, those times are over. You know, I fought for a while. I taught Sunday school for a while. I run a bus for a while. I soul win for a while. I witness for a while. But now, you know, I'm in a different phase, and I think I'm just going to kind of relax and kick back and not do a whole lot more from here on in. Well, I want to try to change that in your mind today, if that's your mindset. I pray that God would help me to stir up your heart to realize that the battle is still raging. Amen. It's not time to retreat. Amen. It's not time to quit. Right. It's not time to lay your armor down. Right. It's time to pick up the sword of the Spirit. It's time to go out and to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. We're Christians. Amen. We're Christians. Our God is looking for a group of people that will stand up and say, I will stand for God in this day in which we live. Amen. Here's a man in verse number 11. Uriah said unto David, he said, there's five reasons that I am not going to stay at home. There's five reasons that are dear to my heart, and I believe that every one of us here can identify with these five things. And I'm just going to mention them, and I'm just going to kind of plug in a few thoughts, all right? There's much that could be said about each one of these things, but I hope just enough is said as God allows me to stir up your minds by way of remembrance that as a Christian, we still have responsibility and duty and a work before us. Look, if you would, in verse number 11, Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house and eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. He said, there's a lot at stake here. I'm not going to come home and just sit down and relax and do nothing while others are fighting the battle. I'm sorry to report to you that many Christians have given up, have quit, have turned back, and have decided to quit fighting. By the good grace of God, I will not quit fighting this good fight of faith. I will stand, I will fight until the day I die by the grace of God. And I pray I talk to a group of people that are not
willing to sound the retreat, but that will pick up the sword and go forward and say, I am going to do what God has called me to do until he takes me out of here. Amen. Notice what, if you would, he said the first reason, and I think it ought to be the first reason. Now, there's five of them. Did you get them? Number one, he said the ark. I believe that represents God, our faith. Our Father, God to thee. Amen. This thing's about God. And we are living in a country now that was founded on godly principles who's wanting to take God out. Listen to me now. They're wanting to take God out. They're saying that you can't go to church, you can't tote your Bible. Yeah, listen, you can't have Bible reading in schools in America, but you can in Russia. Hey, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that kind of thinking. Amen. He said the ark. He said the ark. We've got Christians that have quit reading their Bible, quit praying, quit witnessing, won't talk about Jesus, won't mention the name of Jesus. I pray to God there's not any here today. I pray that if you're here today and you're a born-again believer, that you will stand up for Jesus. Don't you let them back you in a corner and hush you up and shut you down. Don't you let this liberal crowd, this God-denying crowd, cause you to quit, give up and quit and turn back. Stand up. Speak up. Amen. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be hateful, but you can stand up and say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He washed me from my sin. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Amen. He said the ark. Amen. I wonder if you realize that this is what this liberal agenda is after. They're after the ark. You listening? The ark. They're after the ark. They want to get God out. I'm glad for a man who realized that there are some things in life worth fighting for. He said, I will not come home and sit back on my laurels and rest. I'm going back to the front line. I'm going back to the battle. I want to enlist some young people here today that will, listen, that will get involved and say, I'm going to stand as a Christian. I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to stand for the old-time religion. I'm going to stand for the faith of my fathers. I'm going to stand for what is right. Amen. When your preacher preaches the Bible, you ought to be shouting amen and saying glory, hallelujah. When somebody stands and tells you what thus saith the Lord, you ought not hang your head. You ought to stand up high and say, praise God. There's still some folks that'll preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, I'm not going to quit preaching this book. You say, preacher, they'll lock you up. I pray to God that he'll give me strength to preach it wherever they lock me up at. Amen. Don't you give up. Listen, don't you quit. Don't you turn back. That's what they want. Listen to me, that's what the enemy wants. If he can't get you to quit, he'll get you to shut up. Simmer down. Now, preacher, we ought not get so excited about church. Well, why not? We get excited about everything else. Amen? We got a world that can get excited about ball games and activities and events and parties, and we can come to church and somebody say amen, you'll think, that man's crazy. Well, you didn't think he was crazy even though shouting at the ball game. Amen. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to succumb us. They're trying to hush us up. They're trying to steal the message and hush the message. I want to be like Uriah. I want to be a fighter. I want to be somebody that will say, God, you can count on me. I realize the ark's out there. There's a lot of things at stake here. I hope you realize. Listen, folks, I hope you realize what's at stake here. There's a lot at stake. You do realize this. You say, now, preacher, you must be talking about what's at the White House. I'm concerned far more about what's in the church house than what's in the White House. Listen to me. We got folks saying they're Christians, hadn't been to church in 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, 2 years. We got folks saying they're Christians, don't read their Bible. We have folks saying they're Christians, never told anybody that they're saved, never witnessed anybody trying to get them saved. Hey, I'm telling you, something bad wrong with that line of Christianity. Something's not lining up. I'll tell you what it is. We've so watered it down. Hear me now. We've so watered it down. We've quit preaching the Bible and started preaching opinions and telling jokes and stories. We need some men, some of those old leather-lung men that'll stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Stand on what God has said. The Bible is always right. You'll never have to apologize for quoting the Bible. Always right, brethren. Always right. The Bible is always right. God is never wrong. And we heard in Psalm today, never lost, not losing, never going to lose. I've read the end. I know how it ends. God comes out on top. Amen. I'm glad for a man on this Veterans Day. I'm glad for a man like Uriah who said the ark's out there. Oh, I'm concerned about God, aren't you? You say, well, God will take care of himself. Yeah, but he has some representatives down here that he's looking to represent him very well. I want to say to the folks at Fellowship Baptist Church, if you're a member of this church, I want to commend you for your stand for Christ, and I want to encourage you, keep standing for the Lord. Keep standing for the Lord. Don't let this, listen, don't let in light of these perilous times and these uncertain days that we live in, don't let that discourage you now and cause you to hold your head low and to say, well, you know, we've lost and it's over. No. God never loses. And it's not over until God says it's over. You see. And so we have to understand what God has said. And so here's a man who said, Uriah said unto David, he said, the ark. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, well, you know, preacher, I don't know about preaching the Bible. You know, sometimes you have to kind of weave around things. We don't do that here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We open up the scripture, and we take chapter 1, verse 1. We preach it. Chapter 1, verse 2, we preach it. Amen. Right on through the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? Because what we might not feel that we want to hear, we need to hear. See, God put it in there for a purpose. And so by the grace of God, let's stay concerned about the ark now. You say, the ark? The ark's in heaven, preacher. Well, can I tell you, the ark was God's dwelling place. Can I tell you, God's in his church. See, God's very concerned about this place right here. You understand that. The people are the church. You say, well, how could God be concerned about what's going on at the end of Gate Road? Well, look around you and you tell me. God's concerned about what's going on here. He's given us 38 acres of property across the road. By the grace of God, it's going to be developed for the glory of God. Amen. Going to fill this building up and then build another sanctuary, and God's going to fill it up. Lord willing, I'm going to start a Christian school, and God's going to fill it up. You say, now, preacher, now, wait a minute. No. Listen, we're concerned about the ark. We're going to do things God's way. See, God wants to impact people's lives, and he uses his church to do that. Amen. 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 Oh, now, preacher, you can worship in a tree. Well, I realize that, but I'd rather worship in a chair, wouldn't you? Amen. Well, now, you can worship outside. I understand that. I do. But you can worship inside, too. Well, you can worship by yourself. I understand that. But you can worship with the group too. The Bible says you can encourage one another. And so much the more. We'll talk about that tonight, the Lord willing, out of Hebrews chapter 10. We're to provoke one another. So let me say this now. My time's running out. The ark. The ark. Number two, look what he said. Israel. That was his homeland. Now, Uriah was a Hittite. But see, he forsook the God of his fathers. Now, listen to me carefully. He forsook the God of his fathers, and he married a Jewish girl. Now here he is fighting for Israel. The Hittite fighting for Israel. His blood was flowing with patriotism. He said, I want you to know that that's my country out there that's fighting. You see it there in verse number 11? He said unto David, the ark, that's his faith, that's his God. Then he said, Israel, that's my country. I believe that I speak to a group of people here and those that are listening by live stream that are concerned about your country. Our country's in a mess, twisted and mixed up. You say, well, preacher, I'm not concerned about it. You sure? I want you young people to look right up here at me because you're going to be the ones growing up in it. You do understand that, right? Well, it's going to be as it always has been. I'm here to tell you, I'll be 60 in a couple of weeks.
it's not what it used to be. Why am I to believe it's going to be what it always has been, especially in light of some recent events? Are you listening to me? America's changing, brethren. America's changing. And we better wake up. We better pray for our country. Represent some values and some morals. Understand that our country is in a terrible, terrible way. Whether you agree with this or not, it really doesn't matter. There was a day when a communist was a communist. Now they're hired in the Pentagon, the White House. You listening? When a socialist was a socialist. When that kind of thing was frowned on. You listen, when I was a boy, you burned the American flag, you better be prepared for some harsh treatment. Now it's applauded free speech. You tell me America's not changing. You listening? They're brainwashing our young people. This Egyptian education. Hear me now. Our country is in trouble. And judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Why, there are people that have sit on church pews in churches across America. The enemy has come in the back door and robbed us of things. Now the very, very fabric of America has lost her heart and soul. And here's a man who said, I'm concerned about my country. I believe I speak to a group of people this morning that are concerned about their country. But I also look in the eyes of some of the young here, and I don't think some of the young realize what's at stake. I think it's time to start teaching our young people there's some serious things at stake in America. I'm not talking about Republican and Democrat. I'm talking about good and evil. Some serious things at stake. Listen to me. It's serious. How about you? Will you take the position of this good veteran and say, I can't sit around and do nothing. I can't just sit back and relax. The ark's out there. I'm concerned about God and His church and His way and His kingdom. I'm concerned about my country, Israel. Look at the next one, Judah. You know who that was? When you read about Bathsheba, you'll find that that's the tribe that she was from. He had married into the family. He said, I've got family members out there. This ought to hit every man right here. Listen, right here. Right in the soft spot. Sir, listen to me. There was a day when men used to be leaders. And men used to be men. We got a bunch of sissies running around our country today. It's an attempt to make men effeminate. Yeah, preacher, I don't have anything to do with that. Well, then quit dressing them that way. We started dressing our girls like boys and our boys like girls, and then we'd look at the liberals and say, look what they done. I don't know if they did it all or not. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, God made a man, and God made a woman a woman. You can say amen. You say, that's simple, preacher. Yeah, I know, but some people ain't got that down yet. And just in case there's someone listening today, I don't know, maybe here, maybe listening, I want to make it very clear, that God's not confused on His genders. This is serious stuff. See, the devil's got both gun barrels pointed at your home. Oh, not my home, preacher. Yeah, I know. He's got some folks' children, they don't even realize it yet. You know why? Because they're not paying attention. Because they're the kind that's sitting, whether they're watching or sitting in the sanctuary today saying, boy, I'll be glad when this is over. I'll be glad when I can go on back and just eat and drink and relax and sit back and not have to be confronted with responsibility and duty and concern and work. Right? I don't want to have to leave my family and, you know, I need my wife to plug me along. Well, you know, it's church day. We need to go to church. Hey, something bad wrong there, sir. Shouldn't have to have my kids tugging on my coat saying, Dad, are we going to church today? Hey, something bad wrong there, sir. Amen. Something bad wrong. Right. Well, you know, preacher, something came up. What in the world could come up more important than God's house? Amen. Amen.
Something bad wrong, preacher. Yeah, I know it. We got folks like many today, they forgot that there's a man with a cause like Uriah who said, I will not do this thing. I will not stand by and shirk my responsibility and sit down on my laurels. By the grace of God, I'm going to look out after my family. Judah's out there. I'm going to fight for my family. If there's one thing I'm going to fight for, by the grace of God, the devil's not getting my children. The devil's not getting my grandchildren. The devil's not getting the children of Fellowship Baptist Church. We're going to pray over them. We're going to fight for them. Praise God, we're going to keep on keeping on for God.
Amen.
Ah, preacher, you're just a big pep rally. Well, listen, some of you need more than a pep rally. You need a resuscitation.
Right. Come on. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Say, preacher, what in the world's got into you? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We are living in a time that if you're not concerned, you're not paying attention. Hey, this is not about right and left, conservative and liberal. This is about good and evil. God and the enemy. Saved and lost. Heaven and hell. This is about things that go on beyond what we could be thinking about. Uriah said, David, the ark's out there. He said, Israel, my country. Judah, my family. I'm going to close with just, I won't even get into these. You ought to just think on these things, though. Is there a young man sitting under the sound of my voice today that would say, preacher, I've just sit back and I've just let things come and go and I've just kind of relaxed and I realize I need to re-enlist. I need to get involved and fight the good fight. My dad did it. My grandpa did it. My great-grandpa did it. By the grace of God, I'm going to do it too. I want something to pass down to my children, my grandchildren, preacher. But if you want something of any value, you better get in the fight. Because they're taking it one right at a time. Brother Dan mentioned it while I was up here. They're infringing on our rights, brother. You listening? I don't know what it'll be next. They're going to have to kind of conjure up some other kind of scare tactic to tell us we can't worship and how we can worship and how we can live and where we can go and what we can do. It's real. You listening? It's real. Judah, my family. Let me get these last two. My Lord Joab, that was his general. Leadership. I can't just stand by and let leadership do it all, though some folks don't have a problem with it. I'm not cut out of that cloth, brother. I'm not cut out of that cloth. I can't just sit by idly and watch other people do all the work. Amen. I can't do it. I'm not cut out of that. I can't even comprehend it. You understand? How many of you say, preacher, I know what you're talking. I can't stand by and watch people work around me. That makes me uncomfortable. Amen. I either have to leave the room or tell them to quit working. Say, preacher, what are you doing? I'll join them every now and then, amen. Hey, listen. We got folks sit by and let you do it all. And then when you get through, say, hey, you missed a spot. Yeah. Oh, God help us. Say, preacher, really, what's got into you, preacher? Rather than listen to me, I'm going to get just as transparent as I know how to be. I'm very, very concerned. And it hasn't happened this last week. All right? It didn't happen just this last week. You know that. I've been sounding the alarm. I've been telling you. These are perilous times. These are uncertain days that we live in. And they're getting more uncertain with each passing moment. What you going to do, preacher? I'm going to do what I'm going to advise you to do. I'm going to keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. Preacher, you gonna ever quit preaching the Bible? When these old lips are cold and dead. But until then, I'm gonna preach this King James Bible as the Word of God, and I'm not going to change. Amen. Well, we're waiting on you to change, preacher.
I pray to God you have a long time to wait. I'm being just as honest as I know how to be. But I know that's not your plot. Listen, that's not your point. There's folks here because you want to be. You like the Bible preached. You want the Bible preached. You like a challenge. You like a charge. And that's what we need. Support your leadership. And you do. You do. Continue to do that. You say, preacher, I'm like Uriah. I'm for the ark. I'm for God. I'm for Israel. I'm for my country. I'm for Judah. I'm for my family. I'm for Joab. I'm for my leaders, preacher. And I'm for, look what he said. He said, the latter part there, he said, in the service of my Lord. Right? That's those that Brother Dan mentioned. Those are those who pack the parachutes. The service of my Lord. Well, I tell you, sometimes they don't have names as a tribe of Judah. Right? Or as a general like Joab. Just a servant. Hey, be kind to your brethren. Show brotherly love. You don't know what someone's going through. Right? You don't know what someone's going through in their life. You have no idea where they are in their life. Learn what it is to be a little more slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to wrath, right? Learn what it is. If you're going to provoke somebody, provoke them to love and good works. Well, that's the message, just a little bit of it. That was kind of on the top part of my heart. It's been brewing. Say, well, preacher, we'll just leave here and do same old. If one person leaves here today and says, preacher, you don't have to tell the preacher, but just tell God, God, I'm going to stand for you until you take me out of here. Lord, I want to be better in my witness. I want to let people know now I'm a Christian. That doesn't make me better than you. Doesn't make me not your friend. It just means that I'm a Christian. I stand for Christian principles. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of His gospel. And I'm going to share that great message with as many people as God allows me to. Let's stand. If you're here today and you're scheduled to be baptized, I want to tell you, go ahead. Go ahead. Go to your baptismal area. If you're scheduled to be baptized today, good to see Pete. God bless you, Pete. Oh, Pete got saved in the grace of God. Amen. Whew. Man, that's good stuff. Got saved. Say, what's that, preacher? Well, it's when you realize you're just an old sinner, going to hell, no hope. And you realize that Jesus loves you, that He died on the cross for you, that He was buried and He rose again the third day. And you realize He done it for you. And that if you will trust Him and His finished work and pray, and Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned, and I want you to come into my life and save me, you can be saved. It'll change your life. As a matter of fact, nobody's ever gotten saved that their life didn't get changed. You say, well, I heard about somebody that did. No, you heard about somebody who prayed a prayer that wasn't real. Every person that gets saved, their life changes. So how can I know if I'm saved? Is your life changed? But the Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope you're saved. Jesus may come today. Things are sure shaping up, aren't they? Aren't they? Just like God said. Just like God said. Bow your heads with me. There's a family that said they'd like to join the church today. I'm going to ask them to come. And perhaps here there's others. God's